Good morning.
Good morning.
Sharon Begar at St. Paddy's Day, and happy St. Paddy's Day to all my Irish friends. Rory, as you may know, is an Irish name, and that is because my grandfather, Theodore Beattie, was Irish. My grandmother was Native American and black. And I am a mutt. But I was named after me Irish grandpa. So Sharon Begora, happy St. Paddy's Day. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. See, you don't, y'all don't even know where to blame. Are you kidding? Or, that's not really true, is it? It is true. So, you know, don't worry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God the Father has not given us a spirit of timidity. God the Father has not given us a spirit of fear. God the Father has given us a spirit of power and love and of discipline, sound judgment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in unconditional love, but perfect love, unconditional love, casts out fear. So we press on in our quest to know the accurate and absolute truth of the Word of God, unfiltered by those who distort Scripture. And in preparation for our study of the Word of God and self-evaluation, we can ask ourselves a question. Do I have the same thinking in me that was also in Christ Jesus? Bible study is a time to lay aside the spiritual battles of daily life, a time to lay aside the internal fight between two kingdoms for control of your soul. It's a time of renewing. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 requests that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. Now's the time to let your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And so, as we prepare for this renewing of our mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our God in song, while you let thoughts of the Lord Jesus Christ occupy your mind. The opening song is Fear Not.
Fear not.
Thank you, June. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to be courageous in the matter of truth, to say what needs to be said, no matter whom it offends. Help us to count on you for our defense as we continue to boldly separate the truth from the lies that we have believed. We ask this through the power of God, the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, and it's a gift that has been given to me by God for your benefit and for your service. I'd like to welcome you to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's study, false teachers teach heresy. False teachers teach heresy. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24. Come on, Raphael, speed it up. Come on, you got to be ready. Let's go. I said it 3 seconds ago, you kind of coughing and stuff. You got to be ready. I'm sending you on a tour today, bro. You got to tune it up. Tell him, Cheryl. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, we're here to play today. Matthew 24, 24. Just messing with you, man. Matthew 24, 24. What does it say? It says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. The elect is a reference to believers in Christ. So this verse is a prediction of things that will happen in the next age of divine history, the tribulation. So this is something that is going to happen in a future time. But my question for you is this. Is this any less true today? Today, are there false Christs? Today, are there false teachers who rear their ugly heads? There are. There are false teachers today. And they can even deceive believers in Christ, even the elect, today. So here's my question for you. How do you know a false teacher today? Because I think a lot of times, as believers in Christ, we think these types of verses only apply to the time that they were written, and certainly they do. Every verse in the Bible needs to be interpreted in the time it was written, but the question you have to ask yourself as believers in Christ is this any less true today? If there were false Christs then, and there are going to be false Christs in the future, are you somehow immune to false Christ? And I think you know there was a guy in Waco, Texas, David Koresh, who said he was Christ, and he had a cult, and he had a following. And I don't know how long ago that was. It was probably, what, 10 years ago? But today, are there false prophets? Now, the gift of prophecy is gone, so obviously, no, there are no prophets today, so it's easy to say, no, there are no false prophets. But are there false teachers today? And if so, how do you recognize false teachers today? And I quite often, as believers in Christ, I think not only do we think that these verses only apply to other people up there and back there and not us, but I think we also think that these type of verses only apply to televangelists or people that we don't like, or perhaps they apply only to the religious. But that it is not true. Right in our own midst, in the doctrinal ministries, there are false teachers, and we have learned from them. Did you think about that? So the thing that you got to ask yourself is, are there false teachers today? Yeah, there are false teachers today. So here's the question. How do you recognize false teachers today? How do you recognize false teachers today? Well, turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 1. How do you recognize false teachers today? Because the New Testament is the testament that applies to believers in Christ today. We are church age believers. The New Testament is, for the most part, the mystery doctrine of the church age, which for ages and ages had been hidden in thee, God, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, so 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says this, false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you. Okay, so there are false teachers, the Bible says. How do you recognize a false teacher? They secretly introduce destructive heresies. And that's the focus of this lesson. They secretly introduce destructive heresies. False teachers teach heresies, even denying the master who brought them. What does that mean? Those heresies are attacks on the master. Who's the master? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A heresy is an attack on the master. It's an attack on his person. It's an attack on his work. It's an attack on his word. False teachers secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, and they bring swift destruction upon themselves. So what do false teachers do? How do you recognize false teachers today? False teachers, that's the question. False teachers introduce destructive heresies, and then after introducing them, continue to proliferate them when they are teaching, even when Scripture makes it obvious that the heresies that they are teaching are false. Let me repeat that. Because I don't believe you heard me. Amen? Amen? All right, here's what it is. How do you recognize false teachers today? False teachers introduce destructive heresies and continue to proliferate them when they are teaching, even when Scripture makes it obvious that the heresies that they are teaching are false. And that's how you know a false teacher. They introduce heresy, and then they keep teaching it. What is heresy? Heresy is any belief that contradicts the truth of the Word of God, or any belief that is profoundly at odds with that which is known to be true from biblical evidence. Heresy is any belief that contradicts the truth of the Word of God, or any belief that is profoundly at odds with that which is known to be true from biblical evidence. Now, have you ever heard a pastor calling anything that's going on today heresy? Because I haven't. You have? Because I haven't. I hear pastor, well, actually I have, you know, like Benny Hinn, right? I've heard that. Okay, the miracles guys. All right, but typically whenever I hear pastors talking about heresy, they're always referring to a past. I want to talk to you about the heresies of today, because heresies are being taught today. Any belief that contradicts the Word of God, and any belief that is profoundly at odds with that which is known to be true from biblical evidence is heresy. Have you ever, those of you who have studied with the teachers that I've studied with, have you ever run some of your ideas by other Christians? Like the doctrine of rebound or justice as the point of contact with God. Do you notice their reaction? they look at you like you're the craziest person in the whole world. Does that ever get to you a little bit? Because it gets to me. See, there's a whole group of Christians that don't know anything about what we've learned. And when we tell it to them, they look at us like we are crazy. You know why? Because we are. With a lot of the stuff that we have believed over the years, we are absolutely insane. Because it just is not backed by biblical evidence. We pull up a verse and we point to it, but that's not what the verse says. And we're just teaching a lot of times a company line of heresies. And that's it. And then all of a sudden, When somebody stands up and says, okay, enough's enough, I don't see the evidence, that person is crazy. And that's what I did this year. I said, enough's enough. I don't see the evidence. This has been irritating me for 5 years. It's getting me nuts. I don't see the evidence. I have to say it. But here's what I do see. But I'm crazy. The people who are teaching in the heresy, they're not crazy. And I make you mad because I call them on that. Because I'm crazy. Because I'm just shaking things up. Because I'm just trying to change things. You better believe I am. I'm trying to get us to learn what the Word of God has to say and not legalism. And if that makes me crazy, I'll be crazy. Because this stuff that we've been learning is heresy. Let me repeat the definition. Any belief that contradicts the truth of the Word of God is heresy. Any belief that is profoundly at odds with what we know to be true from biblical evidence is heresy. And we believe heresies. Welcome, guest. Welcome to Heresy 101. Welcome. You can straighten her out on the break. Tell her it's okay. We're going to be all right in here. My name's Sarah. The doctrine of rebound is heresy. The doctrine of rebound is an insidious attack by the kingdom of darkness on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, and on the Word of God. The doctrine of rebound is an insidious attack by the kingdom of darkness on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross, and on the Word of God. And anybody who has taught it and keeps teaching it is teaching heresy, period. Now, the question I have for you, all you who get up in arms about that, is it okay with you that somebody is teaching heresy against your God? Is that okay with you? Or do you want to stand up for them? I just want to know. You want to stand up for them?
Yes.
No. That is not my son. I do not know him. What are you trying to do? What are you doing to me? All right. All right. So if what I just said, that the doctrine of rebound is heresy, I just need to know if that's true. Is it okay with you? You may ask, why are we still on the doctrine of rebound? And my answer is, I'm not. I'm over it. I'm way over it. But there's something that you should know. And if you don't know, it is significant. What should you know? The Three Stooges have come out of the closet. The Three Stooges are Pastor Rory Clark, Pastor Joe Shugru, and Pastor John Farley. The Three Stooges have come out of the closet. I have indicted and dismissed rebound as a false doctrine, but now I am not alone. Two other students from the lineage of my teachers have become vocal in their rejection of the doctrine of rebound and have done a hell of a lot better job proving it was scripture than I did. And I thought I did a pretty good job. Joining in the biblical indictment and dismissal of this doctrine are Pastors John Farley, Pastor Joe Shugru, and I call us the Three Stooges to be facetious, but if you know anything about the original Three Stooges, there are some similarities, yet I call us this with tongue in cheek.
Which one are you?
I'm Mo. I'm the one who was hitting everybody all the time. Pastor Farley is curly. He's always laughing. Do you ever know? Have you ever been around Pastor Farley for any period of time? He's always laughing. It's amazing. And of course, Pastor Joe, we all like hitting him. So that's that. Here's the truth, though. There have not been three men who are more loyal to their teachers than the three of us. Let me repeat that. There have not been three men who are more loyal to our teachers than us. And I don't think I have to document this, but if anyone is interested, I can. Financially, emotionally, physically, mentally. I can document every single piece of it for the last 5 years, if necessary. Now, we're still friends with our teachers. We still respect our teachers. We still love our teachers, and we still value our teachers. And I'm not sure that the loyalty is running in both directions these days. In the past, the people who have attacked the doctrine of rebound were never close to the pastors. Never biblically sound, rather emotional, and they were never able to defend their ideas with Scripture. Therefore, they were easy to dismiss. Not this time. Sorry. No, not this time. You can't dismiss the Three Stooges. No, not this time. So, if the hostile black man from Phoenix comes out against a doctrine, what can you expect from a black guy? Okay, I get that. Because I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody from no place. I get that. And that's why we call this Bara Ministries, because Bara is the Hebrew word that means to make something from nothing. And that was not an accident that I picked that as the name for this ministry, because I don't think I'm anything. I don't think I'm special. I don't have an ego in the matter of God and His Word. I am confident, I'll tell you that, and I am not confused, even though I may be wrong. But I don't think that highly of myself. So when the black guy comes out and says that the doctrine of rebound is bull, it's easy to dismiss. But now, two people you can't ignore have come out and said, I have searched the Scriptures, and I don't see the biblical support for the doctrine of rebound. And as Tilly the maid said in the movie Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, when the gorgeous white girl, Joanna Drayton, brought home the even more gorgeous Sidney Poitier for dinner, all hell done broke loose now. Oh, yeah. All hell done broke loose now. You could ignore those people who didn't have a relationship with our teachers. You could ignore those who were not trusted by our teachers, but you can't ignore this group. You can't ignore the Three Stooges. And what I have seen and heard going on in the background as the Three Stooges are introducing the truth of the Word of God is absolutely disgusting and appalling to me. And for those who are proliferating this insidious attack against our person and our ministries, I want you to know, and by the way, that attack is going on publicly and privately, I want you to know that the doctrine of rebound is only the tip of a very, very, very large heresy iceberg. You'll get this in small doses, but it is the tip of a very large heresy iceberg, as I reported to you first. I told you that once you question the doctrine of rebound, you got to question everything. And I have been. And it's appalling to me what I'm finding out. Now, you can ignore it if you want to. But it is not going to go away. I am not going to go away until every last piece of untruth has been unearthed and removed from your souls. Any of you who consider this ministry to be home, I am not afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ did not give me a spirit of fear. The Lord Jesus Christ gave me a spirit of cut off my own nose to spite my own face. Peter had nothing on me. In grammar school, I was voted the person most likely to say anything. At CBS, I was called the HR nightmare. Because I would say anything to anybody at any time. I am not afraid. So I want you to know, my congregation, that the insidious attacks, both public and private, against this ministry and this pastor have begun, and the insidious attacks against the two other ministries and two other pastors have begun, and I am not about to take it lying down. I am not about to take it lying down, because loyalty is a two-way street. In the words of Dylan Thomas, I will not go gentle into that good night. I will rage against the dying of the truth that is right. Sorry, Dylan, for taking liberties. What are we to do? Are we to support the line of pastors we learned from over the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, over the work of Christ at the cross, and over the Word of God? And are we to accept men teaching heresy over our God? There's no way. Heresy is what the doctrine of rebound is. It is heresy. It doesn't matter, though, what I think about it, and that's what I think about it. It's heresy. But it doesn't matter what I think about it. You know who it matters, what they think about it? The Lord Jesus Christ. It matters what he thinks about it, and the question is, what will he say about it? Well, the day will show it. The day when we're face to face with him will show it. And no matter how mad anyone gets here on earth about what we are saying, and no matter how much anyone here tries to subtly discredit what is being taught from these three pulpits, the day will show it. And if we stop teaching it today out of fear, the rocks and stones throughout the world would begin to proclaim the truth. We will not be moved. We will not go away. We will not be silent. And we are not about finished with exposing the heresies on our way to proclaiming the simple and pure truth of the Word of God. We are not puppets. And we will not be puppets and then couch that puppetry under the guise of unity. There is no unity in being a puppet. I'd like to play a song for you from the 10,000 Maniacs. Are you ready for that, Deacon Caleb? Pay close attention to the words, because the ministries of the Three Stooges have announced that we are committed to Christ and we are not content to be happy puppets.
Everything that comes along with strange fun and rage. fluffy puppet dancing on the stair. How do you manage to spit your mouth a frozen grin? Donuts strung on the wire. When the master's gone, you hang there with your eyes and your limbs so lifeless. Tell me something, tell me, was it so insane? Is it making you sing again to let another man tug at the chair that pulls off your empty world and head, your hollowed head, your marbleized, your wooden hands and your metal jump hands? Oh, wait in limbo for the man who knows how to
truth. Is my mic on? Yeah. To tell you the truth, 50 years of Christianity has felt very much like that to me. The word in that song, dullard, is a perfect description. Christianity hasn't been a source of joy. Christianity hasn't been amazing. Christianity has been a stick to beat myself with. Whatever form, religion, legalism, it's been horrible. And I'm telling you, that is not Christ, and that is not Christianity. And I'm telling you, for most of us who have learned from the set of teachers that I've learned from, they were teaching lies. Now, what percent of those lies are acceptable to you? Seriously, what's the percentage that you're comfortable with? Kurt?
None.
Exactly. Me too. None. None. That's what I expect from my teachers. None. And that's what you have the right to expect from me, and that's what you're going to get from me. No mistakes. None. None are acceptable. All Christianity, no legalism. None. Otherwise, what do we become? Dullards, strung on a wire, hollow head, marble eyes, wooden hands, metal jaw pins, all waiting in limbo for the man who knows how to move you this way. That's not Christianity. Christianity does not feel that way. Does not. We're going to see what it really feels like. Take a 5-minute break.
Come on, let me love you now. Come on, let me love you and hold.
don't know. Welcome back. False teachers teach heresy. False teachers teach heresy. The doctrine of rebound is heresy. Among its many lies, here's what the doctrine of rebound says. And one of the things that's interesting to me is that the things that are being talked about in the matter of the doctrine of rebound never include the elements that rebound purports. And then the scripture that supports. Right? But here's what here are the lies of the doctrine of rebound. As a believer in Christ, your sins are not forgiven at the cross. That's one of the things rebound says. Is that true? No, it's false. And here's the proof. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, when you were an unbeliever, when you were despicable to God, he, God the Father, made you alive together with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, having forgiven us how many of our trespasses?
All.
Period. Okay, now you have to help God? After that, after Christ has forgiven all your sins at the cross, and in fact forgave them before creatures were ever created, every one of them, now you have to help by confessing your sins? Does that make any sense to you whatsoever? See, if you're forgiven for all of your transgressions, why do we need to confess? The law of double jeopardy says that you can't be tried for the same crime twice. If we retry already paid for sins, we are calling Jesus Christ insufficient. If we retry already paid for sins, we are calling Jesus Christ insufficient. That is the doctrine of Roman Catholicism. That is not a Christian doctrine. That's the Jesus Christ of Roman Catholicism. We left that. Now, here's the question. Do you believe rebound or do you believe the Word of God? There it is. Rebound, the Word of God. Which one do you believe? Yeah, exactly. Continuing in Colossians 2:14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him. God the Father made you alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all of your transgressions. Colossians 2:14. How did he do it? By canceling out the certificate of debt that consisted of decrees against us, which was hostile to us. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, has taken the debt out of the way and nailed it to the cross. If you have a single thought about your sins, you have no idea who Jesus Christ is in person, what his work was at the cross, or what the Word of God has to say. Do you get that? And you love it when people teach you, oh, your sins. You love it. You love when people preach about sins and discipline. Love it. Oh, tell me more. Satan, tell me about Satan. But you don't want to hear anything about how much God loves you unconditionally. You blow that off. Oh, yeah, whatever. Yeah, he's supposed to do that. He's God. My God. What happened to us? And this is the thing that for the last 5 years has been brewing inside of me. And I get in the pulpit and I teach and you say, why is he so hostile? I know. He's black. Black people are hostile. Why are you so angry?
Not black.
Exactly. You're Irish. You're angry. Look. Is that right? Exactly. And then I got the Native American thing from my grandma. Oh my God! I'm cursed. But did Christ forgive some of our sins? Because that's what Roman Catholicism says. He only forgave some of our sins, but the priest helps him daily. Did Christ forgive conditionally at the cross? Waiting to pardon us fully at the moment we confess? That's Roman Catholic doctrine. That's not Christian doctrine. all sins were forgiven in eternity past before the cross, but especially because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. So what do you believe? Do you believe rebound, or do you believe the Word of God? It's a really simple matter that I don't hear people who are making the insidious attacks talking about. I don't see them putting up what rebound says and then proving it with Scripture. I don't see it. I hear them talking smack. The same boring, dull, dullard, metal jaw pen crap that they've been saying forever. And dismissing everybody who was trying to get them to look at something different. Not this time. The Three Stooges say, look at it this time. Another lie of rebound. As a believer in Christ, your sins are not forgiven at the cross. But 1 Peter 2:24 says, He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His own true humanity, in His own body at the cross, so that we might die to the power of the sin nature and live to absolute righteousness, for by His stripes, by His wounds, you were healed. Believers in Christ are dead to the sin nature. It was buried at the cross. They are dead to personal sins, and personal sins and the sin nature have no power over us. Do you believe rebound? Or do you believe the Word of God? I'm asking you. Which one?
The Word of God.
Thank you. Another lie of rebound. As a believer in Christ, your sins are not forgiven at the cross. Here's another verse. 1 John 2:2 says, He Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only propitiation. What is that? Propitiation is a perfectly satisfactory payment. He is the only one that can do it. The only payment that was perfectly satisfactory to God the Father was Christ's work at the cross, never yours. And it was perfectly satisfactory to God the Father, but not for ours only as believers in Christ, but also for the sins of, say it, the whole world. Who does that mean? Unbelievers too. Atheists. Agnostics. All sins of everybody. Never to be brought up again. But we're supposed to believe that as a believer, your sins are not forgiven at the cross. As an unbeliever, your sins are forgiven at the cross. They were forgiven in eternity past before creatures were ever created. God's not confused or confusing. If confessing sins is confessing sins propitiatory, if you identify it, admit it, and forget it, is that propitiatory? Is that perfectly satisfactory to God the Father? No. Christ is worthy. His worth is and will ever be part of eternity. I think we just heard that song, didn't we? Confessing sins is not propitiatory. The work of Christ on the cross is. So, does our confession have merit? No. None. God paid for believers' sins, and God paid for unbelievers' sins. So, do you believe rebound, or do you believe the Word of God? There is no spiritual life without rebound. That's one of the things the doctrine of rebound says. But Romans 8, 16 and 17 says, God the Holy Spirit Himself testifies with our human spirit that we, believers in Christ, are children of God. And if we are children of God, first class condition if in the Greek, if and it's true, if we are children of God, and we are heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we are in union with Him at the moment of salvation. And if indeed we suffer with Him, and we do, so that we may also be glorified with Him. That is the fate of the believer in Christ. we will suffer with him and we will be glorified with him, and it is not in doubt. But the doctrine of rebound says there's no spiritual life without rebound. Bull. Bull. What's the Holy Spirit's role in our spiritual life? If our confession of sins is our confession of sins more important than our mentor? See, what this meant, excuse me, what this is supposed to say is there is no spiritual life without God, the Holy Spirit. What it says in heresy is there is no spiritual life without rebound. Bull. That's a lie. Now, you teach the lie, no big deal. You keep teaching the lie, you're teaching heresy. The lies of rebound. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is a message to believers in Christ. What does it say? If we confess our sins, maybe we will and maybe we won't. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So my question for you is this. Does a believer in Christ have to be cleansed from unrighteousness? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 said, He, God the Father, made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin nature, to be a sin substitute on our behalf, so that we might become the absolute righteousness of God because we're in union with him. If you have absolute righteousness, and you do, it was given to you at the cross, and if the gifts of God are irrevocable, and they are, he doesn't take them back, then why would you need to be cleansed from all unrighteousness? 1 John 1, 9 is talking to unbelievers, as are the whole first two chapters of 1 John. They are two believers about unbelievers. The first two chapters, two believers telling them how to distinguish unbelievers. Why don't these great doctrinal teachers, the best doctrinal teachers in the last 100 years, know that? Why does only the stupid black guy in Phoenix know that? And the truth of the matter is, it isn't only the stupid black guy in Phoenix, the black guy in Phoenix that knows it. There are a lot of people who know it. Why don't they, if they're so good? Why would a believer in Christ, who already has absolute righteousness, imputed from the moment of salvation, need to be cleansed from unrighteousness 250 times a day? Do you believe rebound, or do you believe the word of God? The lies of rebound. As a believer in Christ, you can lose the filling of the Spirit. As a believer in Christ, you can lose the filling of the Spirit. Romans 11, 29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Irrevocable. What does that mean? Hell, Trenton knows what that means. What is irrevocable, Trenton? Exactly. That's simple. What are you, 14? 15. You sneak one in on me, huh? When was your birthday? Oh, it's coming up? Oh, so you're going to be 15. You're trying to get a little early? You're going to be 16. April what? Oh, I'm the 13th. We got to celebrate. Now, here's my question for you. Where is the connection between confessing sins and the filling of the Spirit in the New Testament? If God, who is immutable and never changes, is the one who gave us the filling of the Spirit as an irrevocable gift, how can mere man then undo something that God refuses to undo? Let me repeat that. If God, who is immutable and never changes, is the one who gave us the filling of the Spirit as an irrevocable gift, how can mere man then undo something that even God refuses to do? Look in your Bibles at Philippians chapter 2 real quick. Hurry. I got a lot of ground to cover and not a lot of time to cover it. Although I can't keep you after school if you want me to. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. A series of first-class condition ifs in the Greek. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Here's what it says. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, first class condition, if, and it's true. And there is. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, and there is. If, first class condition, if there is any consolation of love, and there is. If and it's true. If there is any fellowship of the Spirit, first class condition, if and it's true. Why isn't that third class condition? If you can lose the filling of the Spirit, why isn't that third class condition? It says, if and it's true. If there is fellowship with the Spirit, and it's true. It doesn't say, if there is fellowship with the Spirit, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. It's dependent on whether you sinned or not. Amen, Mike. Now, you didn't see what I did. I took my pistol out, Mike.
I'm trying to read the scripture.
Read on, brother. Read on. Another lie of rebound. As a believer in Christ, you can be outside of the plan of God. As a believer in Christ, you can get outside of the plan of God. Ephesians 1, 3, and 4 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us believers in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in union with Christ, just as he, God the Father, chose us to be in union with him, the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, not at the cross, that we would be holy and blameless before him. If you can lose, if you can get outside of the plan of God, that's saying that you can lose your election. That's saying that you can lose your predestination. That borders on a ridiculous that is off the chart. That is heresy. It is completely erroneous. It is an absolute lie straight from the pit of hell. And anybody who would teach it the first time, I get it. Anybody who continues to teach that for their whole career, that's heresy. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. Do you? Is it okay with you, Christians, if some people teach that? Is that okay with you? How much error is okay? Can a believer in Christ lose his election? No way. And if God, who is immutable and never changes, is the one who put us into the plan of God as an irrevocable gift, which our 15-year-old has already identified means you can't take it away, then how can mere man undo something even God refuses to do? Do you believe rebound or do you believe the word of God? The lie of rebound. As a believer in Christ, you can lose fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 say, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness of unbelief, we lie and do not practice the truth. Every reference to light and dark is believer, unbeliever. Unbelievers are in the dark. Believers are in the light. And all movement goes from dark to light. And no movement goes from light to dark. None. Prove it to me that that's wrong. All movement, dark unbelief, light belief, and all movement, dark to light, no movement, light to dark. In other words, once you're in the light, then what? You stay in and can never go to the dark again. Yes, but we can sin, correct, in the light. Bingo, you can see it. And then when we see it, what do? Thanks for forgiving me. Not forgive me, oh, it's in doubt. Thanks for forgiving me, I see it. That I just did, that's not the light. Thanks for forgiving me for that. Next. You've all probably seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. I didn't finish this, did I? 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness of unbelief, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is himself in the light, and we do if we're believers in Christ, we believers in Christ have fellowship with one another and fellowship with him. And what's the most important thing? The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from how many of our sins? Matthew! That's right. Amen. All of them, not some of them. You've all probably seen the movie The Wizard of Oz. Well, here's the truth. The Three Stooges have pulled back the curtain on all teachers who are teaching Rebound. Those teachers are not going to be able to say, as the wizard did, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The jig is up. They can't discredit us. We have no motive but the truth. We aren't seeking money or fame or congregation members. We're happy with what we got. We want to know the truth, to teach the truth, to have that truth set us free and get out of the bondage and the slavery of legalism. And if there are those who are continuing to teach heresy, they must stand and call themselves what they are, false teachers. That's what I was when I was teaching it. And that's what I will be at any time I teach anything that's not in line with the Word of God in the future. A false teacher teaching heresy. And what's good for the goose, what's good for the black guy, is good for everybody else too. This will not go away. And unfortunately for the false teachers who teach heresy, this is just the tip of the heresy, very large iceberg. And here's the thing. How inaccurate do we get to be about God's word from the pulpit? Do we get to be 95% accurate and then we only concentrate on that and miss 5% and it's okay? I don't think so. In self-evaluation, I ask myself, do I have the same thinking in me that was also in Christ Jesus? The doctrine of rebound is not the thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is heresy. Today, it is heresy. Tomorrow, it is heresy. Yesterday, it was heresy. And forever, it will be heresy. Now, I ask you, are your teachers more important to you than the one who hung on the cross for you? Because that's what you ultimately have to get into your soul. Are your teachers more important to you than the one who hung on the cross for you? And if somebody sees something that is being done, are we to be silent? Because I will say this. I have a question for my brothers in Christ who are teaching heresy. Is it your wish that we say nothing when we notice the truth is different from what we have been teaching? Are we to pretend with you that a lie is the truth and then to call it unity and then to call it loyalty when we look the other way? We cannot do this. We will not do this, not now and not ever. That is not unity, it's collusion. It is not loyalty, it's support of heresy. Ask anything you want, but don't ask me to ignore this, because we will support the Lord. We will support the Lord's person, his work, and his word. And we will not knowingly misrepresent the person, the thinking, the work, the reputation, and the essence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not now, not ever. Amen?
Amen.
Closing song, The Word is Alive.
Simple strokes on a page, eternity secrets revealed, carried on from age to age, it speaks truth to us even still. As the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns, Lord, let your word fall on us. Bring forth the fruit you deserve with eyes wide open. Let us see the word is alive and it cuts like a sword through the darkness with a message of light to the hopeless and afraid, breathing life into all who believe. The word is alive, and the world and its glories will fade, but his truth, it will not pass away. It remains yesterday and forever the same. The word is
confident of this very thing, that God the Father, who began a divine good work in the creation of you, will keep on perfecting it, will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will garrison your hearts and your minds for those of you in union with Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for the courage to speak up. Thank you for the courage not to ignore the lies. Thank you for the courage to call heresy what it is, heresy. And thank you for being able to be soft on the people, but tough on the issue. To support, be loyal to be friends with our pastors, and to be grateful for their work on our behalf, but to not tolerate for a second anything that misrepresents your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we pray that you continue to shape messages from this pulpit that are accurate and that demonstrate who you are, what you stand for, and how much you love us. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.